Thank you very much. I'm really excited to have the opportunity to present this information. I'm also excited because I was this is my first year here, and I was speaking with someone on day one of the APHA annual meeting, and so they saw my name tag and they saw that I was presenting today, and so they were like, so they asked me, you know, the day and the time, and I told them, and they kind of frowned, and they was like, oh, I'm so sorry, and I'm like, well, why are you sorry? And they're like, you know, no one usually attends, you know, the last sessions, and so then I come in here and the room is filled, so this is really exciting, and it says a lot. It definitely says that, you know, people are really interested in the work that we all are doing with farmers markets in underserved communities. So with having said all of that, I'm very excited to present preliminary results today from our ongoing impact evaluation of a farmer's market in a low-income community in Philadelphia. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors at the University of Pennsylvania and at the Food Trust. I have no relationships to disclose. This study was motivated by the considerable recent interest in farmers markets as a policy strategy to increase access to healthy foods in underserved communities. The evidence base for this strategy is slim, with most farmers market evaluations based on cross-sectional surveys of customers at farmers markets. Our goal in this study was to conduct a pilot longitudinal impact study with a community-based sample. We wanted to make sure that we could address the challenges of sampling and tracking respondents in a highly transient neighborhood such as Hunting Park, and could adapt existing survey instruments to capture key aspects of food sampling, food diet, and awareness of and use of local markets. Our key research question was, does a new farmer's market in a low-income community lead to changes in fruit and vegetable consumption, awareness of and use of a farmer's market, and use of nutrition benefits at farmers markets? The setting of our study is the Hunting Park neighborhood of North Philadelphia. The neighborhood is racially diverse, with African American, Puerto Rican, and other Latino communities surrounding the park. Unemployment and low educational attainment are common. The access to healthy food in the neighborhood is extremely limited. Distressed and abandoned properties dominate many blocks surrounding the 87-acre historic park. Over the last 3 years, many groups have come together in community revitalization efforts. The Fairmount Park Conservancy, the Mayor's Office, the Philadelphia Department of Health, and other local community-based organizations have all come together to partner to secure funds for private park improvements. The coalition secured a Violence Prevention Healthy Eating Active Living Grant for the Chides Foundation to launch several initiatives related to healthy eating and active living. The new farmers market was one of several components in this revitalization effort. These pictures give you a sense of our neighborhood and the scale of the park. You can see the distressed housing on the right, or I guess that's you guys'. Yeah, you guys is right. And the other corner stores at the bottom on the right, or bodegas as they call it in the community, where many residents do their day-to-day food shopping. Hunting Park was selected from a group of low-income neighborhoods that were due to open their market in 2010. The market opening was postponed for 1 year to allow baseline data collection. We drew a stratified convenience sample of 80 households, 40 from the inner circle and 40 from the outer circle. The inner circle was defined as an area within 2.5 blocks of the future farmers market location, and the outer circle was defined as a larger area around the park with an approximate 1 mile radius from the market. This study is quasi-experimental pre-post design with two data collection waves prior to the market opening and two data collection waves after the market opened. The design allows for comparisons over time, as well by season and by exposure to the market, as measured by distance. This map shows the location of the market, the inner circle, and the outer circle. So that kind of gives you a sense of what it looked like. The sampling and interviewing were conducted by my organization, Action Harvest, which was kind of explained in the beginning. We're a faith-based organization who came into existence in the Hunting Park neighborhood in 2009. We act as a social outreach arm of a local church, Harvest Time Christian Fellowship. In Wave 1, we came together and we recruited respondents in the inner circle by going door to door. For the outer circle, we went door to door as well on several selected blocks. Also, we recruited respondents at local supermarkets in the neighborhood. The survey lasted about 25 minutes and included modules on diet, food shopping, produce shopping, farmers markets, nutrition assistance benefits, and demographic measures. Respondents received $20 cash incentives for completing the survey. In waves 2 and 3, we attempted to recontact all original participants. After 3 recontact attempts, participants were replaced, for the most part with someone living on the same block. This table here shows retention and replacement across the 3 completed survey waves. Sample retention in this wave and in this type of setting is a major challenge for longitudinal impact studies. For instance, in wave 1, we interviewed about 5 people from an apartment building that was located in the inner circle. When we went back to interview those respondents in wave 2, we learned that the people that were living near and during wave 1, they were living near illegally. They were what we call in Philadelphia squatters. And so they weren't available for waves 2 and 3. The sample is primarily female and African American with a broad distribution. And as you'll see here, we have the breakdown of the age of the participants, gender of the participants, and the ethnicity of the participants. Now I want to share some of our results. Comparing wave 1 from summer 2010 to wave 3 of summer 2010 after the market opened, as you can see, we did not observe any significant improvements in healthy eating measures from 2010 to 2011. In contrast, we did see significant 23 percentage point increase in the number of participants who could identify the location of the closest farmers market. The proportion of those who report shopping at farmers market and who report that friends shop at farmers market also increased, but not significantly. We asked respondents about their use of nutrition assistance programs, including SNAP EBT benefits, and 2 farmers market nutrition programs at farmers market. The SNAP EBT and WIC farmers market nutrition program showed positive but not significant increases. The large decline in the use of the seniors farmers market nutrition program is puzzling, but may be due to changes in the timing that the seniors receive the vouchers, or distribution. It could also be have to do with the timing of our survey from 2010 to 2011. We are investigating this matter in more detail. In wave 3 only, we asked specifically about awareness of and shopping at the new Hunting Park Farmers Market. Awareness was noticeably higher in the inner circle, where residents lived within 2 blocks of the farmers market. Among those who had not shopped at the market, we asked why they hadn't shopped there. In the outer circle, non-attendance was mostly ascribed to lack of knowledge about the market. Among the inner circle, a more diverse set of reasons were given. Inner circle residents had some specific complaints about the market, including product selection, pricing, and location. For example, one inner circle respondent reported that the farmers market location looked fine on Saturdays, you know, when the market was available, but there were a lot of questionable activities, you know, at that same location on other days of the week. Other reasons included waiting for my EBT card, they were too sick to attend the farmers market, and some even said that they were just really suspicious of the market, so that's why they hadn't shopped there. To conclude, our results today show no evidence of changes in healthy eating habits or use of nutrition benefits at farmers markets. We do see strong evidence of increased awareness of farmers markets, including the new Hunting Park Market, particularly for those living immediately adjacent to the market. Our pilot study raises challenges both for the marketing and promotion of the market and for farmers market evaluation methods. even 2 to 3 months after opening, the market doesn't have a very high profile beyond the immediate market vicinity. Among nearby respondents, concerns about pricing, product selection, location, safety, and opening hours may be keeping residents away. From a method standpoint, our longitudinal study is somewhat limited by our attrition rate. We are undertaking several sample retention activities to improve Wave 4 retention. As a pilot, the current study is sufficiently powered to detect only very large changes in knowledge and behaviors. Our next steps, in terms of next steps, we will return to the field mid-November to conduct our Wave 4. We also plan to conduct difference and indifference analysis to compare the changes from 2010 to 2011 in both the inner circle and the outer circle. We will also analyze the very rich data we have on shopping habits and look for seasonal patterns of food shopping and farmers market use. Finally, we hope to incorporate lessons learned from this study into market design and promotion activities and into further larger neighborhood-based studies of farmers markets' impact. At this time, I'd like to acknowledge the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Health and Society Scholars Program at the University of Pennsylvania, and I look forward to answering any questions along with my colleague, Dr. Allison Bootenheim, who's in the audience with me. Thank you so much for your time. So, any questions? Yes. That's a really good question. So our congregation, we're a commuter church. We have been in the community for about 3.5 years now. So I would say 95% of the people that attend our church, they do not live in the community. However, and that was one of the reasons why we started the nonprofit, because while many people that attend our church do not live in the community, we have resources, and there are many needs in the community. So they come to us not looking necessarily to join our church, but they're looking to us to meet their needs, and that's what we're there for, among other things. And so we started the nonprofit to address many of the social economic disparities in the neighborhood. And so with that, that's how we became involved in this study. And so we have taken it upon ourselves to really promote use of the farmers market on a weekly basis. So while we don't live there, we do come there, not all of our congregation, but many people in our congregation, we do frequent the farmers market. And we also, we walk around each Saturday, passing out flyers, passing out, you know, the vouchers, and trying to so by providing incentives for people to frequent the market, but also to kind of do away with, you know, the suspicion of why the market is there, and also to let them know that it's okay to use it. It's okay to use their food bucks there. It's a lot of suspicion in that market. I hope that answers your question. Okay, yeah. Next.
I attended I forget her name, the food trust.
Allison, Dr. Allison.
As well, but there was a lady from the food trust who talked about how many farmers markets they've been doing in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if some of the challenges you faced have been paralleled in other locations.
In other low-income locations, yes. So, yeah, product selection, that has been an issue, but one thing I can say with being also serving as a consultant for the Fairmont Park Conservancy, there was a lot of research done prior to putting the market in. So they didn't just come. So the perception of the community is, oh, the farmer came from Lancaster and they just put this market, you know, in our park without our permission. And so we're there as members, as a community-based organization, to do away with those misperceptions. So so there's considerable research before putting the markets in, and yet there's still, you know, these ongoing complaints. And so there's only but so much that the food trust can do. That's why I think that, you know, when you are doing in the University of Pennsylvania, so one thing that I'm noticing is that when you are putting farmers markets into underserved communities, you have to get the community involved. And I think that Philadelphia and the food trust, they've done an excellent job with getting the community involved with this. And so, but, you know, there's always, you know, you always have, you know, the doubters, the negative people who want to talk against it. Yeah.
Okay.
I have a minute.
Yeah, but yeah, about a minute.
Yes.
Okay. I was just wondering, you mentioned on the park space and the abandoned property, if y'all have looked into any strategies to incorporate urban ag or community gardening?
Yes, actually. That's a really good question. So a part of this bigger revitalization effort, we've invested $3.5 million in the park in the last 2 years. And so one of the things that we did was just last month, and I sit on the advisory council for the community garden, we just opened up an 11,000 square foot organic community garden. And so now residents who, so they still have access to the farmers market, but we're also teaching them how to grow their own produce and take more of a vested interest in their community. So yes, we have looked at that and we're doing something about it. Last question. Yes, we have seen, and one of the things, so as our church, you know, each week we go out into the community and we pass out leaflets to the prostitutes. There was a lot of prostitution that was happening in the park. We've seen a decrease in the prostitution. We've also seen a decrease across the board in overall crime rates. Another partner in the revitalization effort is the police department. And so, you know, they provide data on a weekly basis. So, yes, we are seeing a huge decrease, a significant decline in illicit activities that's happening in the park. And with that, thank you very much.
Thank you. And our last presentation will be by Dr. Sean Toucan. He's a practice.
Oh, sounds like Toucan, spelled differently.
this is the last session.
No,
and I am already not pronouncing my words correctly. Sean Lucan, who is a practicing family physician in the Bronx and also a former Robert Wood Johnson clinical scholar. His research focuses on how different aspects of urban food environments may influence what people eat and what the implications are for obesity and chronic diseases, particularly in low-income and minority communities.